series on questions the world is asking the church. At that time, I reminded everyone that it is important for us to give good answers. Answers based on scripture, answers that reveals the love of God, answers that point people to the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they may respond and call upon Him and experience the power of His life for themselves. The reason behind this series is to help you to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. At the same time, it seeks to empower you so that you can go out and make disciples of others. My prayer and hope that as a church, we will be a blessing to our community as we go forth in boldness and in the grace of God to make disciples of all nations. A while back, some of you came to me and asked me to share on the topic of hell. It is true you hardly hear me preach about it, yet it is still an important topic when we talk about God's salvation plan. After all, when Jesus first came to preach the good news, He spoke more about hell than anyone in Scripture. Jesus warned people when they choose to reject Him and to reject His message and His mission, they put themselves in the danger of hell. The question is this: if Jesus came to die for our past, present and future sin, and which He did, then what determines whether we spend eternity with Him or in hell? This is a good question. Who is in danger of hell? The Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit convicts us of one sin, and it's the only sin that will cause people to go to hell. That is the sin of rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Indeed, when people do not learn the gospel and they somehow choose to reject the gospel, they put themselves in the danger of hell. Now, I don't want you to be discouraged right now, especially when you get to share the gospel with your loved ones or with your friends or your colleagues, and somehow they did not respond, they rejected, and now you think they are in danger. I want to encourage you that as long as life, as long as opportunity, always preach the gospel. But don't be preaching. Don't be naggy. Pray to God to give you the grace. Pray to God to give you the time and place where you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people may respond. And sometimes the truth is this: some people are not yet ready. Some people do not quite understand the gospel. Some people have their own personal issues that they are not ready to commit as yet. And then that is where we must show grace to give them time. At the same time, we also want to pray for them and believing that God will hear us and God will create those opportunities again and again that we can share the gospel as well as to live up the gospel before them. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is useful when we pray for those who yet to know the love of God. I want to encourage you with the story of George Mueller. George Mueller was a man of faith as well as a man of prayer. He once ran an orphanage for more than 4,000 orphans. But never one time did George Mueller ever wrote an appeal letter. Every time there was a need, every time there was a shortage of food, Mueller will go and pray and ask God for help. And God will answer his prayer in the most powerful and miraculous way. That throughout his time in taking care of the orphan, feeding them, they never missed one meal. Now, Mueller has three friends. All of them were non-believers, and he loves them very much. And he started to pray for their salvation when he was a youth. The first came to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ after 20 years of prayer. The second person came to know Jesus Christ after 40 years of prayer. And the last person came to know Jesus Christ on the day of George Mueller's funeral, when he heard the gospel preached to him again. You see, friends, as long as we keep believing God for opportunity for our loved one to respond to the gospel, God will hear our prayers. But Jesus do warn us there are people who will bitterly turn against God. We know the gospel. Through the gospel, God justifies the wicked. None of us deserve to be saved. None of us deserve to go to heaven. All of us deserve to go to hell. Yet it is through the kindness and the unfailing love of God that we get to respond to the gospel. It's through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we get to experience the power of the gospel, so that today you and I have the privilege as well as the honor to share the gospel with other people. It is important for us to understand when we talk about hell, while it's not a popular topic, but we need to avoid when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we do not mix the gospel with the teaching of hell. I know this is something that's commonly done today. Somehow we will introduce the topic of hell and then warn people about it and telling them of eternal punishment so that somehow we scare them into heaven. That is not gracious and that is not God's way. If you ever read the Acts of the Apostles, go through the sermons of Paul, go through the sermons of Peter. Every time they present the gospel publicly, they talk about God's love, they talk about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, they talk about the forgiveness of sin, but never one time do they mix the topic of hell with the gospel message. So if the apostles feel that it is good just to preach about Jesus Christ and nothing else so as to get people saved, you and I must understand, never use hell in our gospel presentation so that people may be so-called frightened unto salvation. That is not God's way. And so let us be sensitive, let us be loving. Although hell is a serious topic, we must use it in such a way, or we must learn it in such a way so that we may present the gospel clearly, but never mix it in such a way that it confuses people and causes people to stumble. Moreover, it's helpful for us to learn there's not just one view of hell. In fact, there are four views of hell, and scholars and theologians have been debating for such a long time. But it's good for us as a church to see some of these views about hell. The first view is hell is a literal place of eternal torment for the wicked. Remember last week I mentioned about Gehenna? Jesus talked about it 11 times. Gehenna is a place where the Jewish people throw away all their rubbish and they will burn it, and that fire has been burning for hundreds of years. And so every time when they go and throw their rubbish or their waste product, they will see that unquenchable fire burning up all the stuff. At the same time, they will see worms crawling around the waste product. And so Jesus uses this as a way to tell people that hell is like Gehenna. It is a place of unquenchable fire and worms crawling all over. And in one sense, for a long time, the traditional view of the church is to see hell as a place of eternal torment. And that raises a question among believers today. If God is all loving, if God holds no record of wrong, how then can God send people who do not respond to Him and to be punished for all eternity? Then how we as believers, how are we supposed to enjoy heaven where all our loved ones and our friends are in danger of hell? Or in the sense, we are in heaven and our loved ones are in hell. Indeed, that creates a conundrum for us. And before I get to the answer, I just want to share with you another view of hell. The other view of hell is a place where the unsaved spend eternity. There are some people who say that if you did not respond to Jesus Christ in this life, well, too bad. You will be eternally separate from God and you will go into hell. So this is just called tough luck. You never hear the gospel. So too bad. This is where you're heading after you die. So in that sense, that again create an unfairness of God, especially when we talk about God is love and God is grace. The third view of hell is a place of purification. Because for the Catholic Church, they believe few people will go directly to heaven. Those who get to go to heaven directly are all the great saints who have done great deeds on earth. But for the majority of us, we don't go to heaven straight away. We will go to a place of purification, and that place is called purgatory. Purgatory is where you and I will spend a long time for God to burn out all so-called our fleshy desire or the sins we have been committed. We have to go through a place of what called rehabilitation for such a time until we are all so-called being purged right or have been cleansed right so we get to heaven. Of course, this is something we don't think is scriptural, but yet this has been taught that there is a place called purgatory where people will go to there, go into it to be purged. Of course, the church, the Catholic Church also taught that there are times in which you can reduce your sentence in purgatory. If your loved ones pray for you, or they give an offering to the church, or if you buy some relics blessed by the priest, well, that shortened your time in purgatory. And of course, as believers of Jesus Christ, we reject that teaching because it is not mentioned in the Bible. The last view of hell is what people call complete annihilation, not everlasting torment. Here, people believe you completely cease to exist. In one sense, if you look at scripture, biblical proof that the lost are actually destroyed or perished, not so-called preserved forever. What does this mean? When we talk about eternal life in Jesus Christ, we all know that eternal life means what? Eternal life, that you live forever. But when we talk about eternal death, shouldn't that it means that we totally cease to exist? Not eternal death as if we exist after we die and then we live or we go through a time of eternal torment for all eternity. Well, the traditional view believes that to be so. While eternal life literally living forever and ever, eternal death doesn't mean we stop living. But eternal death means we will still go for all eternity being punished by God. But I want to say to you that over the past few years, as we go back to scripture and understand scripture, when God used the word destroy, it means totally gone, totally reduced into nothing. So in one sense, it means when someone do not respond to God's grace and kindness, in one way or another, when they choose to turn away from Him, when they put themselves in the danger of hell, they're not going to a place of eternal torment, but rather they are going to be completely annihilated. In that sense, they cease to exist. They will not continue for all eternity suffering eternal punishment. And I will share more with you next week on the scripture verses that teaches these four views of hell, that people do not suffer eternal torment, but they will be completely annihilated. That means they cease to exist upon the judgment of God. Now, at this time, some of you may be wondering, is this so? Well, let's take time to learn this topic of hell, and let's take time to grow in it. What I'm saying to you may be surprising to some of you, but please don't stone me as a heretic. But let me assure you that as we go through scripture, scripture will prove itself. But what is helpful for us to understand that if we understand this idea of the fourth view of hell of complete annihilation and not so-called eternal torment, first, it shifts the gospel message from believing in Jesus so that God won't torture you forever, to believe in Jesus so that you don't miss out on eternal life. Remember, I said that many times when people present the gospel, they will tell people if they do not believe in Jesus Christ today, they are in danger of eternal torment. Well, if we believe what God has said to us through His word, then the gospel message has shifted from believing in Jesus so that God won't torment you forever, to believe in Jesus so that you won't miss out on eternal life. And I believe not missing out on the eternal life reflect the true picture of the pure gospel. The second reason for complete annihilation is this, that God wants us to genuinely love Him. And it is very difficult to feel genuine love for someone who threatens to inflict unimaginable suffering on you if you don't love them. Well, this is what we call an abusive relationship. Imagine someone had to threaten you with danger or with harm so that you will love them. Imagine God doing that to us. What sort of God do we have? We know that God is love, and perfect love casts out all fears. But imagine for a moment that God has to put fear for us to love Him. Then God, the God whom we love, is not a powerful God, is not an all-loving God or an all-powerful God. So, in one sense, if we believe that God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, doesn't want anyone to perish, then in that sense, our response to Him is one of genuine love and not one of threats, of suffering. And to think that if we have to use hell to threaten people unto salvation, it means the gospel that we believe in is a very weak gospel. But the third reason is this. If God is perfect love and the source of all life who upholds all things in existence, then those who reject God are effectively rejecting their own existence. So God gives them what they have chosen non-existent. Now, this is very plain and simple. God is a giver of life. But when someone chooses to reject God, they choose to reject their own existence. So in one sense, God gives them over to their choice. Remember last week I quoted C.S. Lewis that there's only two kinds of people in the world. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And then there's those whom God say to them, thy will be done. And that are those kind of people who choose to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ again and again, no matter how much they understand it, they just choose to turn away from it. So now, this is a sobering thought for us, that as believers, we must always seek opportunity to pray for those who yet to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, as believers, let us not give up sharing the gospel to others. Hell is very real. Even though you may take a different view of hell, you're wondering whether it's literal or metaphorical, or is hell is purgatory, or it's complete annihilation. See, whatever views we hold on to, hell is a reality, and it is something you and I must do to stop people from heading towards that place. So that's why people, God has given us the grace, the strength, and the love to stand up for Jesus Christ in our situation, that we may stand for the gospel's sake and point people that God's way is the best way. God's way is for people to know Him and to love Him, not out of threat of suffering, but out of the pure love of His kindness and His goodness. So I want to bless you on this day and ask that we continue to reflect together on this topic. I know for some of you, this could be a surprising turn and twist of a sermon, but just be patient as I unpack more for all of you to reflect in the coming weeks. Till then, may God bless you and strengthen you and be with you always. Let us pray. Father, we pray in Jesus' name on this day, as we gather together to know what joy that we know the salvation of Jesus Christ. We pray that for everyone who hear this message, they will grow from grace to grace, from truth to truth. I pray for a blessing upon every household on this day, that they may understand the gospel clearly and grow ever more with joy and with that godly expectation, knowing that, Lord, that you have prepared a place for us, especially in such a time as this, when we are surrounded by crisis. We know that, Lord, your word is life, and your word will cause us to bubble with joy with the truth of everything that you have in store for us. For this, we want to thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this ends today's service, but what is important afterward? Please look out for the video by Kelvin and be blessed by his testimony of his journey into Vietnam. So until we meet again, may God bless you and strengthen you in all things. Amen and thank you.